as that word comes, Lord, I pray that it will go deep, Lord, that those seeds that you're planting now with our youth, they're not one day future generation alone, but they're also here now. They're part of us. They're part of the saints. And so, Lord, I want to pray for them. I want to pray for us as a church, Lord, that we will grow deeper in you, Jesus. Not to grow faster or bigger or try and be the best, but to grow deep into you, Lord, that from us would come wellsprings of living water in Jesus' name. We thank you for this time of worship, Lord. I pray that you just allow the seeds that Bob's going to share now just to penetrate our hearts as we just allow your spirit to water it in Jesus' name. Amen. And take your seat.
I am sure that if I start talking about my very, very first car, when I was just out of school, my mum and dad treated me to my very first car, and it really was one of those type of cars that you don't really get here in South Africa. It was called a Triumph Herald. It was a two-door, it was grey, and it really was a fast mobile, as far as I was concerned. It was too fast for my dad. He said, slow down, I'm going to put a brick underneath the accelerator pedal because you're going too fast. So that was my first car. But what I really want to talk about was, because it was such an old car, and it was second hand, third hand, fourth hand, probably fifth hand by the time I got it, so you can well imagine that wherever I parked it in my parents' driveway, there was always that little puddle of oil underneath the engine, where the engine block was. And so after a while, I treated myself to another car, and we came to South Africa, and we bought one of those that was called the first on the rubbish dump, a Ford. I think we pushed it more than we drove it. But again, in our little driveway, Barbara used to be able to push, and that's probably where she hurt her back. But anyway, the whole point of the story is this car also started to have oil leaks. And so I kind of got a little bit snaky going to different people and saying, please fix my oil leak, and the block would have to do this, and they would tighten up the various little plugs. And eventually we had to admit they're old cars that basically leak oil. And we can say there's not much you can do about it. But I was tired of the little puddle of oil underneath the car, so I made a little wooden box and half filled it with sand. So all the oil would just drip nicely into the sort of sandbox, and that's how it has been for quite a while. But now you start looking at these more modern cars, and you have a display like a pilot's cockpit, where you have all these little flashing lights that tell you your left-hand wheel is getting flat. Or maybe you have another fancy car, which is the businessman wheels, you know that BMW kind of guy, businessman wheels. It has all the flashy lights. It looks more like a signal station. And it has a little light to say the steering wheel oil is going low. And maybe the water washer in the windscreen is going low, so you have another light for that. And it also has one of those little sensors that the lights come on, or the window wipers go when it sees it's raining. You know the kind of car that I mean. So it's got all the little bells and whistles that tells you there's something going wrong. Oil leaks. What kind of an oil leak do we have? And I say we, because I believe we have all got oil leaks in our lives. But let us just read, if we could just put it up on the screen, Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to read from verse 6. But at midnight the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell the oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Kind of a striking end to those passages that it says, "And the door was shut." But let's just look at our own lives where the oil leaks have taken root, where the oil leaks have taken place in our lives. The 10 virgins all had the same lamps. They all had a quantity of oil, and they were all topped up, and they were all raring to go, waiting for the bridegroom. But kind of like sleepiness creeps in, the long wait. I don't want to drag it out, but it was a long wait. And eventually they were awakened. "The bridegroom is coming. Quickly, light your lamps." The wise had enough oil. Their lamps glowed. They didn't have any oil leaks. Their oil was full and topped up. But the foolish girls, their lamps started to wane. Their little pots of oil were running dry. And perhaps somewhere in their lives, the oil that they had got had dripped and dripped, and they had it wasted on the ground. God spoke to the church in Ephesus and said, "You have lost your first love. The candlestick will be removed." We read that in Revelations. To the church in Sardis, we read, "Sin has defiled your garments." And to the church in Laodicea, we read, "Neither are you hot nor cold. I will spew you out of my mouth because you are not hot or cold." Finding fault with everyone is a little drip of oil in our lives. Our oil tank may be full. We have praised the Lord. We have given him all the praise we can this morning. We are anointed. We believe we are blessed by the praise that we give him. But the ignorance of sin, the finding of fault, is a little bit more of the oil that drips from us. Perhaps our prayer life has also waned. Maybe the oil of prayer and praise has waned. That little drop of oil, little bit by little bit, has come out of your oil tank. And your lamp is now perhaps growing a little bit dim. Perhaps you're dissatisfied with the church, the leadership. Perhaps you, just little bit by little bit, you're pulling yourself away from the anointing of the blessing of a service such as this morning. That oil tank is let a little bit less, a little bit less. You've become unfaithful in attending church and all the activities during the week. That oil is getting less and less. But the wise, they've all had that shiny lamp. We've joined in all the activities. We've joined in the prayer. We've joined in community. We can see that our light is getting brighter and brighter. But then we become the foolish. We kind of see a little bit of, oh, that's nice. A little bit of materialism here, a little bit of materialism there. Oil being dripped away. Perhaps we're just tired. And we kind of want to just justify our tiredness by saying, well, we've had a hard week. I won't go to church on Sunday. But drip by drip, the oil tank is getting less. Perhaps we've come to perhaps rationalize our disobedience and say, well, you know, that's not what I really agree with. And perhaps that oil is just drip, drip away from your volume of oil that you should be having. Perhaps you've become disconnected. Disconnected from the accountability that we should have within the church, the leadership, with one another. Perhaps that oil has dripped and the warning light is flashing, but you're ignoring it. I've heard that some people say, no, that light's been on since I bought the car, so why worry? It's been going for 2 years. But then the bridegroom comes, and you suddenly want to go to George, or you want to drive to Knysna on holiday, and halfway between Sedgefield and Knysna, that light flashes, and you start realizing, you should have looked at the oil in the tank. Just some little examples of how reality tends to kick in. But that reality is where we have let the oil drip out of our oil tank. We have not kicked in the decided factor of being alive, living in the Spirit. Reality kicks in. Now, just over the last few weeks, we've been having a few sermons where, yes, stepping out in the boat, but all of a sudden we see the waves around us and we get frightened and we jump back in. Perhaps we have taken a step into the river or into the sea and those waves are suddenly splashing around us. There is an old Sunday school song. Can't say it's a Josh Jen kids type song, but it's give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, 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 sing Hosanna. You all know that one. The older ones may have remembered it. If you're honest, you're a bit older than what you say you are. Okay, the 21-year-olds who are now 40-something, you should have remembered that from Sunday school. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. But that door was shut because you had let your oil run dry. You haven't got that same zeal. You haven't got that same umpah that you really had when you were singing, give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning, burning, burning. What about your talents, your gifts that the Lord has given to you? Each of the virgins, they had kept themselves clean and pure. They had all had a clean, shiny lamp. They had all got a pot of oil. But somewhere along the line, there is that disobedience creeping in. There is that foolishness. And we read in a little bit further. Now, this whole chapter of Matthew is quite significant because Matthew wrote it not only just to emphasize who Jesus was and to really impress, but he was talking to two groups of people. He was talking to the Jews and he was talking to the Gentiles. And he was trying to say, Jesus is for you, the Jew. And here's Jesus for you, the Gentile. And he was trying to draw them together. And in that drawing them together, he was basically saying, God has given you so much. Draw together, as did the 10 virgins. They were all expectant for the bridegroom. They were all expectant to shine their lights and praise the Lord. But those that were foolish found that they were lacking. A little bit further on in chapter 25, we read the story of the talents, using what God has given to us, our talents. What are the talents that's in your reserve of oil this morning? What are the gifts that God has given to you? Or perhaps the importance of serving others. If we go on a little bit further in chapter 25, we will read the story of the goats and the sheep. And I don't think I need to emphasize whether you should be a sheep or a goat. But I think it's evident when we read that story. But it's only when you have stepped outside of your comfort zone that you need to begin to change, to grow, and to transform, and to start realizing, and the door was shut. Which side of the door are you on with your gifts, your talents? The importance of serving others, where are you? Is the door shut? Or have you walked through the door into His glorious light, into what He expects of you? Now, in preparing for this morning, Isaiah writes these words, "Arise, shine, wake up, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Awake and shine." And Paul also chooses to use some of the scripture verses from Isaiah 26. I didn't give you to them, so don't worry about them. Isaiah, he gave these exact words, arise, shine. The bridegroom has come, arise, shine. Is your light shining? Or are you scratching in the dirt looking for some little drops of oil that you've lost on the way? Because Malachi in chapter 4 verse 2 says, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing on his wings. You shall go out with leaping like calves from the stall. Are we on that side of the door leaping like calves from the stall, enjoying the presence of the Lord? Or are we scratching in the dirt, wishing that we had still got some oil, the oil from the Lord? Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, and I think I gave you that one, if we just turn to it, Ephesians chapter 5, somewhere in here, Ephesians chapter 5, 15 to 21, we all know the scripture. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise. A little bit different. I'll read from there. Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. In Christ, we have a better, a higher joy, and longer lasting life that is a cure for all our aches and pains, our depression, the monotony of the day, or tensions, the angers and the stresses. Those little areas that are in our lives that perhaps we've lost the oil that was in our tank. Perhaps we've stopped caring. Perhaps we've stopped serving. Perhaps we've stopped giving our tithes and our portion. Perhaps we've let pride and anxiety and anger to override our lives. That spirit of self, trying to make peace with sin itself, which we can't. The poor in spirit, the poor in spirit. Submitting to one another to a person is often very much misunderstood, or it's misrepresented throughout the time. But Jesus, our example, submitted himself, his will, his total being to the Father. Giving our hearts to Jesus, being saved, being born again, is perhaps just a moment in time that you have done. But it takes years to be a disciple, to know that Christ, at whose name every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And in Galatians chapter 5, we just turn back a little bit to Galatians chapter 5. We see Paul writing to the Galatians, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's just read. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified their sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. The fruits of the Spirit. How much love has dripped out of your oil tank? How much joy has dripped out of your oil tank? Peace, drip by drip, away. Your patience with your wife or your husband, how much patience has dripped away? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, has that dripped away little bit by little bit as you've tried to justify that which is in your life? Against such things there is no law. Have not our prayers been focused on, give me oil in my lamp? But this may be different for each and every one of us. Each one of us has our own lives to live. Each one of us have our own moment when we meet the Lord. In preparing for today, there's one particular verse that only appears a couple of times throughout Scripture. when it talks about the glory and that glory and the honor given to a blessed God or a happy God, as it is translated. We go back, don't go there, but it's Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 11. We start seeing what the Greek have called a word. It's called Makarios. And it talks about the happy God, the blessed God. It's where he himself is happy with what you are doing. Where you have given your sins over, you've been asked for forgiveness. And in that happiness, he forgives your sin. Your conscience is clear because the God becomes happy. Matthew 25, verse 23. Get there. It says these words, and I'm going to come back to it towards the end. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Makarios, that happiness, that blessed, that fortunate, that privileged, the recipient of God's favor upon you. The infilling of God's oil, this Holy Spirit in your oil tank. But has that oil tank been lost over time? Perhaps you're envying that happiness that you want. You're envying that prosperity, that spiritual blessing. And I'm not talking about a material or monetary prosperity there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a life full of joy. Life full of satisfaction, knowing that God, the blessed God, is happy with you, and he wants to share. Come and share your master's happiness. Now, Jesus comes to us this morning, I believe, with a rereading of a few scriptures. And it first of all, it takes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 3. You should have it there. You got it? Matthew 5, verse 3. No, not 25, 5. Okay. No? Didn't you do it? Okay. It'll pop on the screen just now. It talks about Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, says these words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." How is your oil tank when we start looking at the poor in spirit? Are you there because the word poor means begging? Are you dependent on others for support, perhaps? And here it means perhaps being brought low and weakened to the point of realizing the need to depend on others for your day-to-day existence, your wife, your husband, your children. But are you spiritually desperate for God? The poor in spirit are blessed because through what Jesus has made possible, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. What if I start to remove your, I'm going to call them the propping or girding around you, like a building. If I start taking some of the building supports away, there's nothing for the building to stand. It might start collapsing. But now let's look at yourself. Let's look at yourself. What's propping you up? What are you looking at around you? For Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22 says, "Stop trusting in man, who has but a breath in his nostrils. Of what account is he? See now, the Lord Almighty, is about to take from Jerusalem and Judea both the supply and support of all supplies of food and supplies of water." God says, "Why are you trusting in weak, frail, mortal people?" Spiritually desperate is God. Are you spiritually desperate for God? Are you getting that hunger? When we take away the propping up systems, what then are we leaning on? Are we getting to the picture of seeking the Lord? When God begins to remove those props around us, it's pretty scary when we have all our lives perhaps trusted the government, all our lives expected what the police should be doing, the justice system, it all collapses. And all we have left is that desperate need for God. Only in Him. Only in Him when we can place our root deep down in Christ to build Christ, the foundation of our lives. That whole point, are we desperate for God? Are we poor in so much poor in spirit that we only cling to God and nothing else? Matthew chapter 5 verse 4, as we read, it says the words, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." You've realized the door is shut and your oil tank is dripped away. And you're beginning to weep over your condition, your sin. Those who mourn will be blessed. We should be all mourning for our sin. We should be all mourning for the mess of the world around us. Weep with those who weep. It's not wrong to reap and to mourn the loss of those you've loved. The promise of Jesus is that those who mourn will be comforted. God's comfort goes way beyond any kind of comfort. As we weep for the sin around us, we should be on our knees, weeping for our country, the sickness, the drought. You know, the personal sharing of problems, to be able to experience God's comfort. I have had two incidences, and I've shared them before, where there is nothing that I can cling to, there is nothing that I can hold on to. My props, my whatever I girded my life with, fell away. With open heart surgery and 2 years ago, as you most of you know, with colon cancer, there is the time when you experience God's comfort that I cannot describe. I can only describe the peace when it's me and God. There's nothing, no doctors, no nurses, my lovely wife, yes, my children, yes, but there is still that point of knowledge of God and me and experiencing His comfort. Can you picture the picture of Jesus traveling around the countryside, talking with His disciples, those closely linked to Him? And how hard everything must have been for Jesus as He walked. Can you picture Him discussing? I'm going to be hung on a cross. I'm going to die the agony on the cross. And how difficult the cross would be. And why? And in John chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. He wept with Martha and Mary. And Jesus cares enough to weep in our sorrows as well. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. 2 Corinthians, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all our comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Jesus drew comfort, strength from His heavenly Father and came out in victory. The same Spirit dwells inside of us, and the strength allows us to make it. Whatever we are facing, we can step forward in Him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, it says these words, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." We should be content with who we are. Moses was created, was given the description rather of being the meekness of men, and that's taken from Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. We should be able to really understand the gentle, the considerate, the unassuming meekness, showing kindness and love for others, the opposite of arrogance and self-seeking. Arrogance, self-seeking, drip, drip. Kindness, It's topping up. Love for others, our oil is topping up. Sometimes the word meek can mean broken, but not broken like a glass that is shattered, but in a way that a horse is broken, it's tamed, with its strength under control. Dependence on God, awareness of our own limitations, content with who you are. Blessed are the meek. God has chosen you for who you are. 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Think of this. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, choose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. Let him who boasts, boasts in the Lord." Verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Are we hungry for God? Are we just allowing our oil to be topped up a little bit more today? And are we hungry? Are we blessed? Are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness? You are blessed when you work up an appetite for God. Pursue a relationship with God as your number one priority. And the blessings of the hunger for God will fill you to overflowing. You know, for me, for a long time, you say at the end of the month, you kind of have only got perhaps a slice of bread and no butter. You've probably got no marge. You've only perhaps got a little tub of, well, with a long spoon, you kind of pull out a little bit of mayonnaise or something. But have you ever really gone on fasting, not just with water and lemon juice or something for 3 or 4 days? You get that pain, that hunger. I can't describe it only by what I'm going to tell you. It's hungry. Okay? Now, Barbara knows that if I don't eat, I get real ratty. I have to eat. My sugar level and so on, you can go on in all the technical terms that you want, but I'm hungry. I need food. I'm not really wanting to go down there, but feed me. I'm sure you all know that musical. But Corinthians, Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Like hunger pains for food and water, do we hunger for that life-giving manna and refreshing water, living water from Jesus. Are we hungry for that manna? Are we hungry for that water? Verse 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Receive forgiveness and be merciful, for they will be shown mercy." You know, we shouldn't give to people what they deserve. We can always say that we turn our cheek 77 times 7, and you can do that as many times as you like. But C.S. Lewis writes, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. The merciful are blessed because they will be shown mercy." If we want mercy, we have to give mercy. If we need forgiveness, we have to give forgiveness. You see, all of these little things that I'm trying to share this morning is the topping up of your oil. I don't want you to misunderstand that some of you have definitely got forgiveness in your spirit. Some of you have got mercy in your spirit. But are you using it? Is it a full can of oil? Shining light, or is it otherwise? Throughout this last month or so, I've been reading through a study of Job little bit by little bit, and As Job prayed for the people, his friends who had turned away from him, if you go and read Job, it's, it really is a life-changing experience to really prayerfully go through Job, the book of Job. So Job prayed for the people, his friends, they had all turned away from him. And who did not stand with Job in his pain and his suffering? And they kept on saying why he was like that, why he was in pain, why he was suffering. And when Job lost everything, these friends sort of like judged Job so severely. Their counsel, their wise human counsel, was unfair and very cruel. Yet Job prayed. He prayed for his friends. He prayed forgiveness over them. He prayed mercy. And you know how God responded? God gave to Job a double blessing because of his forgiveness and his mercy. We must be determined to walk in God's power of love and forgiveness. No matter how hard the malice and bitterness and hatred has been, is our oil tank full of love and forgiveness? Verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." It's talking about be completely sincere. You are blessed when you get in your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Blessed are the pure in heart. This is not just an outward purity, but integrity, openness, sincerity, authenticity. It's purity that allows you to see God. A pure heart starts with your thoughts, because your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. And what people see of your actions becomes your character. So when you are topping up your oil, are you topping it up with sincerity, a pure heart? Or is the words being the opposite? 1 Timothy 3 verse 10 says, "And let them also be tried and investigated and proved first, then and only then, if they turn out to be above reproach, let them serve." And that's talking about deacons, elders, leadership, people in the church, people you are accountable to. Are they sincere, pure in heart? Verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Do you strive to bring peace? Blessed are the peacemakers. Don't stir up conflict. Don't stir up anger, conflict, but make peace. Jesus came to make peace for you on the cross. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20 also says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Do you want to be known as a child of God? You are blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of fighting or competing with them. Filling of your oil. In 2 Timothy, we read these words, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, timidity, but he has given us a spirit of power, love, and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control." Is your oil tank being filled with love, calmness, balance of mind, discipline, and self-control? Or is it the opposite? Drip, drip, drip out of your oil tank. The last one. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Expect nothing in return except persecution. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. The writer in 1 Peter 4 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of the glory and of God rests on you." You know, we can all come to a point where we can read these scriptures and we can all come to the point of the oil that's been dripping, dripping, dripping from each one of our lives. And it's really only when we can start putting on the full armor of God. Perhaps we do need that more of hunger for the holiness. Perhaps we do need more of a hunger to know the truth, God's peace. What are we praying when we say we see these words that I have read through this morning? Blessed are the poor spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, the ones that hunger and thirst, the merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, being persecuted. How is your oil tank this morning? Do you have, as Ephesians chapter 6 says, the full armor of God? Are you knowing His truth, His peace? Have you got truthfully that shield of faith in position? Is your sword of the Spirit really sharp? We've sung this morning, is our tongues full of praise and worship? Do we have in worship that majestic honor to the King? Have we laid down ourselves this morning? Or do we see where the girls were ready? They went in to the wedding banquet, but the door was shut. Do we have the Master's happiness in all that we do this morning? Perhaps you've come here this morning and you've perhaps read quite quickly through the blessings of the Beatitudes that Jesus gave, Sermon on the Mount. But if you tie it with your life, how are you doing this morning? Has little bit by little bit the world and the things around you, your family, your people that you've sort of been together with, have they started to pull you down? Perhaps that oil leak has been because you've been finding fault. Not with everyone, but you've been finding fault with yourself. Perhaps you've been oil dripping out saying, I'm dissatisfied with church and its leadership. But maybe you're dissatisfied with yourself and your leadership. Perhaps you decided to not come on a Sunday. Why is that? The unfaithfulness in attending church. The unfaithfulness of in attending church. Has that been your oil leak today? Are you critical of the activities, that oil leak that's dripping, that light that's flashing on your console? Perhaps you've said, I need something in my home. I will reduce my tithe this month, this week. Little bit by little bit, the oil is being dripped from your tank. Perhaps these words this morning have been a little bit uncomfortable. Perhaps we start realizing our lamps are leaking oil. But do we actually, at the end of the day, hear the Master say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your Master's happiness. This morning I'm going to give everyone an opportunity to really know that Master's happiness. God the Father is blessed. He's blessed because of your response. He's blessed because He wants to share in so much joy. He's blessed because He wants to really give that love, that joy. How are you going to respond this morning? Perhaps there's some visitors or there's some other people who you've been sitting. You've always known the scripture passage of the 10 virgins. And you've always said to yourself, well, perhaps I'm on that side of the 5 wise. I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. But when you got to the door was shut. So is there anyone this morning who has never, ever given their heart to Jesus? There is always a moment of happiness in heaven when God the Father hears one of His chosen people that comes to say, I need you. My life around me is in a mess. I need you. I'm hungry for you, Lord. Is there anyone this morning? Is there anyone this morning that's here perhaps that really you've realized that your little bit by little bit, your oil tank is dripping, it's leaking, and you want some mechanic to come and stop those oil leaks in your life? Perhaps there's an area in your life. Perhaps there's that area that I've mentioned. I can't answer for you. Only you can answer. God is waiting for you to be honest, to be pure in heart, to be a peacemaker. Perhaps he's just waiting for you to cry. Blessed are the ones who mourn. Let's just have a few moments in silence as we just think of the Beatitudes this morning. And is our hearts leaking?